The man that stood before me was ashen white. He had just missed death by inches. The huge trailer truck had skidded a few seconds ahead of us as we came down a steep hill last Saturday in Pittsburgh. I thought I saw something move in the smashed-in cab. One of the quartet said, why, the driver's inside. And I pulled on the brake and was one of the first to the cab, and I hollered, where's the driver? Where's the driver? And there he stood, trembling and white, and he had jumped just in the nick of time, escaping certain death. And you know, as I thought of that, I thought of you, thousands of you there by your radios today. And it's my prayer that you'll jump in time to gain life eternal in Christ Jesus. Jesus said it. He said, Matthew 18:3, except ye be converted and become as a little child, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, conversion is not just a church membership, fine as that is. Conversion is not baptism, important as that is. Conversion is not taking communion, urgent as that is. It is not reforming and living a better life only. It's more than that. And that's why I thought today I'd take a few minutes and bring to you some of these things of importance in regard to conversion. Those who followed Jesus were good men in a sense, but they had to be converted. Jesus said, except ye be converted and become as little children, as a little child, not childish, but childlike, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now I put down in my notes first the meaning of conversion. What is it? Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation or a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. In other words, when a man or woman pins his or her faith in Jesus as Savior, the Spirit of God, God's Holy Spirit, performs a miracle, and it's not just emotional. Oh, no. A fellow said to me last night, well, what place has emotion in your plan of religion? I said it has a place, but our religion is not based on emotion. It's based on fact, the facts as found in the historical records in the Bible. He performs a miracle in one's heart so that the things you once loved, you now hate. The things you once hated, you now love. This, my friend, is conversion. It's a right about face, and my, don't we need it. Every man and woman needs it. The consequence is that sin becomes sin in the light of Calvary. The awfulness of sin rips you. Its awfulness just tears you apart. And I believe, my friend, there can be no conversion until, first of all, you become conscious before a holy God that you are a vile sinner for whom Jesus died. A few days ago, a young man, 30 years of age, came down from New York to see me. God had saved him and apparently did it in an unusual way. No man was in it but God and his work. And oh, how he was shaken. He told me his story. A friend from New York sent him to me, and we talked a long time, and God had torn him apart physically and mentally. He was so upset, but he was straight in his belief. He hadn't slept a wink of sleep in 3 days. He was just torn asunder by the Spirit of God, and he needed light from the precious Word of God. And oh, the blessing I got as I helped him in the things of God. He trembled and he shook. He cried and he hungered for the book. And that's what you need, my friend, you there by the radio. You need to have a consciousness of your own vile state before a holy God, a consciousness that your life is not a perfect life in the light of that God's standard, the Word of God. And when you get that, when the Holy Ghost falls upon you and makes you conscious of your own awful condition before a holy God, then you'll flee to the arms of the Son of God for forgiveness. Then you'll be converted. Then you'll be born again. Then you'll get real religion. Then you'll know the truth. Then you'll be saved, ready for heaven. He was entirely right about faith, or as Jesus called it, thoroughly converted. But how is conversion wrought? I would answer simply by saying you pin your faith in Jesus as the only all-sufficient Savior. You are the sinner. Jesus is the Savior. God lets us grovel along in our own waywardness, in our own way, in our own sin until we get enough, until we get sick of it. Then he steps in and saves us. And oh, how precious he becomes then. Last night, a few nights ago in one of our meetings, many were accepting Jesus at the altar, and there was a mother speaking to her beautiful daughter to go up, but she refused. And at the close of the meeting, I spoke to her and how the tears flowed. Her mother spoke to her too, and she fought back through her tears, but finally said yes to him. Ah, the relief. Ah, the joy. You'll never know it, my friend, until God gives it to you. And I maintain if a person is only honest, if you just think of your own sin, your own life, in the light of the ultimate, that which is sure to come, death, I say if you'll just think, you'd see how imperfect you are, how sin-stained you are. Then you'd cry out to God and beg him to convert you. But lastly now, what is the result of conversion? The result is a better life, though not a perfect life. The result is you know in your soul that you have a hope for eternity, and that God is in Jesus Christ, our resurrected Savior, that He is our hope, that the Lord is our hope. A Christian, someone has said, is one whose feet are on earth and his head is in heaven. When you're converted, you just live in a new world. That's all. All things become new. And that's what I've prayed today for you. I prayed for you that God will awaken you to the terrible state that you are in, to the awfulness of hell, to the terror of the lake of fire toward which you were bound, and incline your heart toward the Son of God so that you'd flee from the wrath to come. I repeat, the only way, absolutely the only way by which you can ever hope to land in heaven, my friend, as Jesus said, is being converted. He said, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's certainly a definite negative slant to this thing. Ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. I put it to you plainly, kindly, as best I can. Will you believe and live? Or will you go on your way, hopelessly lost forever, until the curtain falls on your life and you are whisked away to judgment and off to hell? Oh, may God help you today. May you turn, may your heart be inclined toward reaching out for that which will really satisfy you. A consciousness that what you want is life eternal. A consciousness that you need the very thing that I've been speaking of. And when you reach that place, my friend, God will step in and save you. He'll thoroughly convert you. And then you'll be able to go forth and stand in front of those who laugh and sneer and poke fun. And God will give you courage to stand under the blood-stained banner of the cross. Will you do that today? Have you the courage and backbone to do that today? I hope you have.